Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Highland, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in automotive marketing and business management from Northwood University. He started selling cars at age 15, and at 21, he became a sales manager at a General Motors dealership. Today, he's the COO of LaFontaine Automotive Group, which now consists of 21 dealerships and 1,400 team members. He and his sister, Kelly, founded You Can Survive Foundation. His name, Ryan LaFontaine. And I'm Jack Vasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Vasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Ryan LaFontaine, who in 2018 was the chairman of the North American Auto Show, and as such, the youngest chairman in its 112-year history. Quite an achievement. Ryan, welcome. Real honor.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. You know, I'm very blessed, very close with my family. Very much obviously came in a loving family that just was very much a work orientated, but obviously was pouring into the importance of family, and there's a strength in family. So my mom decided to obviously go from being a stay-at-home mom to when I was 6 years old, I'm the youngest of four. She decided to go to work full-time at the dealerships. My dad obviously was working in Dearborn. At that point, we bought the Pontiac Cadillac GMC store. My mom worked there and running that store as a dealer principal. My dad worked in the Dearborn store. And me and my family had the distinct pleasure of learning under a male and female's tutelage, not just in the household, but at obviously the work level. It's just been a blessing. I'm very, very grateful. I prioritize my life, faith, family, friends. And I'm just very grateful that my family is my foundation that I can depend on, you know, all I could ever ask for.
What's the biggest thing Ryan Dad taught you?
So, you know, it's work ethic and staying humble. So when you look at that, when I look back at my dad, those are two things that just jumped out at me. He also taught me how to be a gentleman and make sure I treat women. Chivalry is not a bad thing. He teaches me chivalry each and every day and our importance and our role and how we obviously treat and raise our kids and raise our daughters and treat our spouses in that regards. But he just showed me through success that at that standpoint, you have to make sure you don't let that go to your head, that ego doesn't creep in. Confidence is fine, but there's a very fine line and a distinct difference. It's okay to be confident, but you got to remember we all put our pants on the same way. And he's demonstrated that through his actions and his words. And then just showing that anything you want in life, it comes down to you have to work for it. Nothing's going to be given to you. Your last name, nothing, you're not going to be entitled to anything. It's every day you earn it, and your character means everything. So just very, very grateful for the humble lessons he showed me through his examples throughout the years.
We lost mom October 28th, 2019, a year ago. What's the biggest thing mom taught you?
So mom, Madre is what I call her. Madre is, you know, just one that shows you what family is. So she taught us the lesson of really, you know, in this company, treating our employees and our customers as family. So when you look at that side of it and what she does, she just lived with her heart each and every day. Many people compare my heart to hers, which I think is just an honor to even be compared to that because she just loved people and she just had a presence around her that made everyone just feel like family. So it's that side of it, just always bringing us together. She was always the one that actually had the events at their house and always were doing things just to keep us family members focused on each other and taking care of each other. So the heart of the company, the heart of our family is her. So that lesson that she showed us each and every day.
In 1980, your dad started to run a Toyota dealership on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn, a mile from Ford Motor Company headquarters. That was like having a Buckeye flag in front of a mile from U of M Stadium, the big house. That was suicide. Why did he ever do it?
So my dad, you know, he looked at the opportunity. So he actually started selling Volkswagens and Peugeots and Mazdas back in 1966, worked his way up through that company to be a part owner. Then he broke off and bought his own store in 1980. He risked it all. He literally mortgaged his house, took every penny he had and bought that store with obviously some help and just risked it all. But he knew from being in that side, he believed in himself. So from that, it wasn't about brand, even though back then the word import was definitely very much unpopular, like you just described, especially being in the Ford capital world. So it was something they just looked and said, hey, I can sit here and do it off my reputation, my hard work, everything I pour in, and I'm going to bet on myself. And it worked. And he surrounded himself with great people. And we were able to grow from there and eventually bring it on, obviously, the Pontiac Cadillac GMC store in 84.
At the dinner table every night, your brother Mike, your sisters Christy, Kelly, and you, Mom and Dad, did you talk about selling cars at every meal?
So we had a great opportunity to learn the business, right? To be brought up in the business. I mean, this was not, this was our life. This was not just a job. This was everything. So we were always brought to the dealership. I started selling cars when I was 15 years old. I was a porter before that. I worked in detail before that. So it definitely, you know, I remember going at our first store and collecting cans from all the technicians and taking them across the street to buy candy. So trust me, it's been in my DNA, but they never forced it upon us. It never was something that they pushed. In many cases, they told us not to go into it. They wanted us to explore what we wanted to explore. But it's just something I knew after that first summer of selling cars, I didn't want to go back to school. I did, obviously, but at that standpoint, I really enjoyed it that much. I just knew it was for me, and we never looked back. So very grateful that they taught us along the way, brought us involved in many meetings along the way, and, you know, got us introduced to it so we could see the good, the bad, the ugly, all the different things behind the scenes versus just what everyone sees from the surface level. And it was definitely great lessons.
All right. I don't know if everybody caught that, but you sold your first car before you were eligible to drive your first car at 15. Yeah. You might not have even been shaven at 15. How did you ever, who did you convince to buy a car?
So I talked to the team. Mind you, I was working at that store for quite some time. I looked at it saying, hey, I'm coming back. That summer I turned 16. So it was a summer before I was there before I turned 16. And I just said, hey, you know, I'd love to give it a shot. I'd like to learn. And they gave me a mentor across the way. And I literally sold a first Montana Transport my first day on the job and just enjoyed it. Didn't know everything I was doing, but I was definitely good at just talking it through and asking for help and building relationships with people. And I never looked back, but it was definitely interesting. Couldn't drive it off the lot.
We're talking to Ryan LaFontaine, and he sold 300 cars by the time he went to college. When we come back, we'll ask him, why did he go to college? And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Pasula. We're with Ryan LaFontaine, the COO of LaFontaine Automotive Group. Ryan, 300 cars before you went to college, you knew more about those than those professors knew about selling anything. Why'd you go?
You know, it was definitely something I always wanted to build on my foundation. Something that's important to my parents, important to myself. I never know what's going to happen in the automotive build business or the car business or anything, obviously, in life. So you'll always have something to fall back on your education. So I'm very grateful I did. It gave me an opportunity to learn and grow as a human being, as a man, and obviously with my education in that regard. So very blessed in that regard that I did. But at that real-time experience definitely helped me throughout, obviously, my college career, because I could reflect back when we're going through all these courses at Northwood and obviously relate it to real life experience or what I dealt with while I was selling cars.
Northwood's got one of the most beautiful campuses in all of America. Got devastated, you know, 5 months ago. It's back open. Talk to us about Northwood University, please.
You know, Northwood has been a great foundation, right? We've not just going through school for those 4 years, but we've really become close with them and post that life, obviously, as alumni. Now, we actually every year do internships. We had 20 interns this year from Northwood University. I think we had 18 or 19 last year and 20 the year before. So every year we really get active with them and trying to sit here and coach and mentor future leaders in the automobile space. So they've been great. They've been great to obviously sit here and just talk through and be a resource. We go back and forth. Obviously, when I was chairman of the auto show, we were able to talk about collaborations of what they do with their auto show. But very blessed to have them right here in Michigan with all they do of pouring into their students. I love that they want their students to get real-time experience and internships that really gonna give them the experience they need to decide what they want to be in life and to succeed in life. So we're very active with that program. We go up there and speak at the school, pour into their students. And I tell you what, I'm uberly impressed with the way that those students handle themselves, the maturity they have, the responsibility that they have, and the confidence they carry themselves with. I don't know if I had that back when I was their age, but very much they're grooming great future leaders in not just automotive, but just the business space.
I had Dr. Kent McDonald, the president, on a couple months ago, and I said, how are you going to clean the classrooms between every class? He says, Jack, we're not. We're going to have the kids do it. We expect the kids to do it. Wow, unheard of. Old school. All right.
Yep.
At 21, you become a sales manager at a General Motors dealership. In 2008, you had three dealerships. You were hitting home runs three times a day. Everything was going great. Then the economic tsunami hit. Tell us about that transformation.
So 2008 was a very interesting year, right? It was the most exciting time because we were building our flagship store in Highland, Michigan. That's our, at the time, it was Buick, Pontiac, GMC, and Cadillac. Obviously, Pontiac is now since gone, but at the time, that's what we had. And we just outgrew our old location. So we were building our flagship store, pouring everything we possibly could into it. Probably spent way too much on the facility itself, but we looked at the future of what we could do. And then we moved in there June 2nd of 2008. And then, of course, a few months later is when, obviously, GM filed for bankruptcy, and everything started changing rapidly with the economic downturn. So it was a tough year. It was also the year I got diagnosed with cancer. So while we were building this store, I 3 months prior to moving in is when I got diagnosed with cancer. So a lot was going on personally and professionally, and then all of a sudden I thought we were going to lose it all. I literally looked at many ways to sit here and say, well, how can we keep this company sustained after we just spent all this money thinking that, you know, things wouldn't change overnight. But it taught us how to be resilient, and that there's a lesson in adversity, and that you have to sit here and fight and be gritty each and every day to overcome it, and look for different ways. It's probably the best education I could ever get on cash flow management and future planning. And obviously, we use those disciplines still today to make sure we always protect our company as we grow. So we learned a lot that year, personally and professionally, but it was a hard year. It was also the year that we found out that Pontiac was going away. And mind you, Pontiac was our number one franchise for volume. We sold 1,218 Pontiacs last year Pontiac was there. We're number one in the nation. So no one could ever take that away from us. We'll always be known as the largest Pontiac dealership in the world. And you know, all of a sudden we go from that high of a record to all of a sudden overnight, I have to sit down and have a meeting with our employees. And I remember distinctly after year end, talking to them all, trying to pour into them and convince them that, hey, we're going to be okay with Pontiac. And I didn't really believe what I was saying, but I had to show them confidence of what we could do. And I was just proud of the team. We focused on the controllables. We could focus on our attitudes and what we can control inside our four walls versus what was going on in the world. And we actually had a record year. If you look at it from the year, obviously, that we went through bankruptcy, that year we sold 2,946 vehicles with Pontiac, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC. Fast forward 1 year later, we sold exactly the same number of vehicles, 2,964 vehicles, to the T without Pontiac. So mind you, we overcame 1,218 vehicles to the T with obviously out our number one brand. We did it with GMC, Cadillac, and Buick. And to me, that's a God moment. That's God saying, Brian, I told you, if you trust in me, you'll be okay. Because I couldn't have tried. If I tried everything in me, hit a certain number. There's no way throughout an entire 12-month calendar year with that many sales, we're going to sit here and be able to hit that number. When I printed that report off and saw we were exactly the same number 1 year after that, next, without our biggest franchise, I started having the confidence knowing that, you know what, if we always focus on what we can control and worry about what our families need, me and my family of employees need each and every day, and then we have a huge responsibility to them to make sure that we're doing everything right to set them up for success, we're going to be just okay. And we're going to be fine. And we'll survive anything. We'll learn the lessons that we need to learn along those adversity times.
Speaking of surviving, you mentioned the word cancer. In March of 2008, a doctor said, young man, you have Hodgkin's lymphoma. Ryan, what is it? And how did you get through it?
So it was tough. I went my entire career up to that point. I was 30 years old, and I never missed a day at work for being sick. If I was sick, I just went to work. It was one of those things. My life was probably out of balance. I was working way too many hours. There's many, many, many nights that I'd be there till 1, 2 in the morning working, and then show back up at 7, 8 o'clock the next morning, and that was a normal routine. I was kind of really determined and uberly focused and passionately looking towards how can we succeed and grow this business versus having balance in life. So all of a sudden, we're again building our flagship store. It's about March of 2008. I'm at dinner with my mom and dad. And all of a sudden, at the time I was coughing a lot, and I couldn't figure out why I was coughing. And I remember distinctly rubbing my neck just simply having my hand go through my or touching my neck, and I felt something completely round. I felt it, and I kept on rubbing it. I'm like, that's weird. I had my mom and dad rub it. Everyone thought it was probably nothing. It's probably just the allergy time of year or things are going with your sinuses. So at that point, I went and saw my doctor. He looked at it and said, that's nothing. Don't worry about that. At that standpoint, gave me an inhaler for the cough, thinking maybe something is there's allergy going on. And fast forward a month later, I'm grateful for a physician assistant because I went in because I was still coughing, and she took it forward. She actually at that point did chest x-rays and at that point sent them out to see if I had pneumonia. She thought I had walking pneumonia. She started treating me for walking pneumonia. All of a sudden, she called me back and said, hey, Ryan, you don't have pneumonia. Your test came back negative. But since you're complaining about that mass in your neck, we want to send you in for, obviously, a CT scan and look at it further. And you fast forward that through. That's what led to, obviously, me finding out I had cancer. But it was very humbling because we always live in this bubble thinking that, we're never going to get sick. And that's when you realize that cancer has no biases. They don't care your age, your sex, your race, your religion, any of those aspects. It just looks at, obviously, attacking each and every one of us in some cases. We've all been touched by cancer. But it was just hard because I had to literally tell my dad. I remember distinctly, I called him up. He was in Dearborn. This is after I got the results of the CT scan back. I could tell by the doctor's language on the phone and just how he's approaching it. I just could tell that I had cancer based off those results. So I literally went from a moment of some tears to me calling my dad and, you tell him that we have to meet. And he kept on asking why. I said, you just need to trust me. We just need to meet. I remember him driving from Dearborn, me driving from Highland, and literally on Woodward on a side in a parking lot, we met up and I told my dad that his son had cancer and that he had to take me in the morning for a biopsy. So probably the hardest conversation a person has to have with their own dad in their entire life and letting them know that I had cancer. But he just hugged me super tight and said, everything's going to be fine. And we're going to trust in God. And we did just that. Had so many people pouring into me with prayers and positivity. And we just worked through it. And I was very blessed, obviously, right around Halloween that year is when I finished my last treatment. And I've been cancer free for 12 years now. So very blessed in that category. Hodgkin lymphoma had an 86% cure rate. So I consider it being blessed. If I have to have cancer to receive a cancer like that with a high cure rate. But we give back to the world of cancer so much right now because not every cancer has that cure rate. So we try to pay it forward as well.
We're talking to Ryan LaFontaine, COO of LaFontaine Automotive Group. And their moniker, their slogan is the family deal. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything's Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Ryan LaFontaine. If you want to learn more, www.familydeal.com. Ryan, every couple of years, I go see your Gordy Taylor. I says, give me the best rate you got. He says, Jack, I'm going to give you the family deal. How'd you come up with that slogan? What does it mean?
So when you look at it, I don't actually look at it as a slogan, to be honest with you. We did what I think was a smart thing to do is we went to the ground level. So when we talked to all of our employees at the time back in 2003, we surveyed them. And we got, at that point, it was a few hundred employees. It talked to them over and over again about what, when they think about our dealership and our automotive group and what we bring to the table and what they stand for, what does that mean to you? And every one of them, after looking through the surveys, all brought back something about family, treating our employees like family, treating our customers like family. You'll get a red carpet treatment like you're one of the family. So everything kept on coming back, family, 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 everything we did, respecting our life outside of work and our family. So we looked at that and said, okay, let's form that into a brand philosophy and came up with a family deal. And then when we started going through it further, even when we defined our mission statement and defined obviously our core values, we did the same thing. We went right to our employees because there's a strength to words when they're defined by the people, right? When they're part of the liftoff, they care about the landing. So when you actually have the people, your employees that define you each and every day with how they treat customers and how they approach business, when they define who you are, there's a reality to it all. Even though we can all do it from the top and probably come up with something that's great, a great jingle, a great approach, a great moniker, there's a reality to it and a strength in it when it's really defined from the people that actually make you and your DNA. So when you look at it from all those aspects, our mission is to build lifelong relationships that connect family, that strengthen communities, and personalize the automotive experience. When you start looking through the word family deal, that defines every aspect of it. It's we want to sit here and personalize it to your approach each and every day. And we want to make sure you get the experience, much like you just described with Gordy Taylor, where you can trust him, right? They can sit here and have confidence in. And I can sit here and say, whether I'm selling to one of my family members, I would give them the same approach each and every day. We can be proud of our culture, proud of our reputation, proud of how we approach it. And we define that in each and every category of the company, whether it be a body shop, to the porters, to the technicians. We start every single meeting off, every single conference call off with our mission statement, our core values. And then we define it in how we hire people. So not only is our approach externally of how we approach our customers and wowing everyone in their expectations, treating them like family, it's also about how we treat our internal employees and how we go about their value and how we make sure we show them that their life outside of work is what we're doing it for. And we make them part of our family. You know, we treat them and react just like with their family members each and every day. So it's very much a great approach where everyone's empowered to be part of that culture. And then when we even hire people, I look for those core values. I look whether they have heart, they have passion, whether they have integrity, right? Do they, can I trust them? Do they care? And what's their work ethic? So we really have used this to brand our company and how we approach things from an internal and external philosophy that really is kind of related into the family deal approach.
If you want to learn more, www.familydeal.com. A couple of facts. LaFontaine Automotive Group has 17 retail locations, 6 body shops, 36 franchises, 1,400 employees. Your Highland store is the only Gold LEED, L-E-E-D, dealership by GM in the nation. Your Birch Run store is the only Gold LEED Ford Motor Company store in the nation. And the Highland store, your flagship, regularly is the number one retail outlet in the nation. From Highland, Michigan, on M59, the name of the show is Anything Is Possible. But Ryan, that's impossible. It's in the middle of nowhere. How do you do it?
So I actually love that approach. So
you count like COVID, some of these COVID people are counting. How do you do it?
I tell you. So, you know, I go back to a story that I got to share. So when I was 21, got my first management job or opportunity at our Highland dealership, our Pontiac Buick GMC Cadillac store. Actually, at the time, we didn't have Buick. And I approached this a different way. And maybe it's different just because it's the only way I know how. I remember I actually interviewed the general manager at the time when he asked me to be his sales manager, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting that position based off my last name. So I interviewed him for about 2 hours to make sure it was the right reasons. Once that got settled, I remember my first week on the job after I took it, I sat down with our zone rep at the time, and I can still to this day remember his face, remember the conversation like it was yesterday. I remember being all enthusiastic, excited, you know, just getting out of college, thinking I can conquer the world. And I asked him one simple question. And mind you, but at that time, out of like 28 dealers in Michigan for Buick GMC and our Pontiac GMC and Cadillac, we were probably like number 18th, 19th. So we weren't even in the middle of the pack. We were kind of the middle of the bottom. Did a very good job with customer satisfaction, but not a lot of volume. I remember asking him, how do I become number one in the nation? And the guy literally sat in front of me and started laughing at me. And he said, Ryan, you need to aim your sights lower. You'll never be number one in the nation out of Highland, Michigan. And I reflect upon that story because that story kind of set me on a trajectory that I wasn't prepared for. I spent the next 10 years of my life with many people pouring into that store to prove him wrong. And 2008, 2009, when we finally got to that new store, we achieved that, being number one in the nation for Pontiac at the time. So it came at a cost. We were succeeding beyond belief, but my life was out of balance. But you look at that, and it just shows you with determination, doesn't matter where you're located, because most people back then didn't even know where Highland, Michigan was. If you surround yourself with great people that care, and you surround yourself with passion, heart, work ethic, you can sit here and achieve anything. So that store I'm very proud of. Ever since, we've been, if you look in the last 10 years, we've probably been number one in Buick sales in the nation, probably 7 of the last 10 years. We've been top 5 for GMC. We're usually number 1, 2, or 3 in GMC in the entire nation on sales. And for Cadillac, we're usually always top 5. So when you look at that side of it, it's not just one brand that's number one in the nation, it's multiple. All out of one store, but it's just about team. It's about the family. I tell you, we have great employees that pour their heart into it, that we all run in one direction as family members, and we just try to wow our customers. Our customer's always right. We pick up and deliver to them. So we just cater to them and really personalize that automotive experience. So it's a lot of hard work and growth and a lot of people's efforts. I'd love to take credit for it all. By no means could I ever do that. It's many people's heart and soul. My mom poured her heart and soul in that store. My family members have. Many, many employees have. We've all worked hard to grow that store to what it is today. And it's been dealer of the year almost every year since 2008 for all three of those brands as well. So very proud of that store and what it does. And we use that culture and DNA to really, obviously work towards in every single one of our stores. And we have many success stories like that inside our company. But it's very humbling. It's such an honor. And it just makes us realize that we have to stay humble in that success, because everyone else is going to be sitting here trying to dethrone us and outsell us. So we have to work harder each and every year.
We're talking to Ryan LaFontaine. And in May of 2016, he and his sister Kelly founded You Can Survive Foundation. When we come back, we're going to talk about You Can Survive Foundation. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything's Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasul, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Ryan LaFontaine, your sister Kelly. If the truth be known, the real brains and beauty behind the organization. The two of you in 2016 start You CAM-CERVIVE Foundation. www.youcansurvive.com. Tell us about it.
So, you know, it's one of those lessons that my parents have taught us. If you're blessed in life, make sure you pay it forward and make sure, obviously, you do right by others. So, you know, you look back in 2008 when I was struck by cancer. I'm not one that just lives in a bubble. So many people are affected by cancer, whether it be them personally or whether it be people they know. And we looked at that, and I remember someone introduced me to a program called Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Man of the Year program. And my sister and myself, it was a 10-week program where you just pour your heart and soul into fundraising for a charity. And we did just that. I remember asking her, can we do this? We're so busy. We got so much going on. And she said, how can we not? So we started off our fundraising journey that year, and we broke records for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society nationally and how much we raised. And we just looked at that platform saying, you know what? This is great. We ended up raising $1 million for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society that are all over at U of M Hospital and different 10 different grants. And so this is amazing. But what we need to do is sit here and be able to be laser focused. We learned a lot through those years. And we really wanted to pride ourselves in being able to say that 100% of every net proceed goes directly to the World of Cancer. So our charity has no admin, no salaries, no different hidden expenses. So 100% of every net dollar that everyone gives goes directly to cancer research and supporting the World of Cancer. So it's very important to us, if we're going to sit here and use our platform that God's blessed us with to sit here and grow that side of it, we need to make sure that we're doing smart and really investing that money with some amazing people that have been blessed with these beautiful minds, that these researchers that can sit here and find a cure for cancer. So we do just that each and every year, and we support all these local hospitals around here. We meet the researchers personally. We sit down and talk to them eyeball to eyeball. We look at their research, what they're looking to do. We look at their facilities. We talk about it. We create an intimate relationship and a partnership to make sure that we can sit here and have these dollars raise cure rates. And it's been awesome. We have so many great hospitals here in Michigan. We're just very blessed to give back to the World of Cancer each and every year. Our goal now is to net raise $1 million a year for the World of Cancer. We've gotten each year closer and closer to that mark. I think last year we raised right around $600,000 for the World of Cancer. So we'll keep on growing it and giving back. And if God is good to us and everyone blesses us with those donations, we can pay it forward and eventually say we live in a cancer-free world.
www.you, the letter U, can, sir, C-E-R, vive.com. If there's a listener tonight who's just heard the words, you have cancer, what do you say to him or her, Ryan?
So if you look at it, there's many forms of cancer. So first of all, they need to obviously sit here and trust that obviously God will guide them through this journey and staying positive throughout. I truly believe obviously being positive is the right approach. But it's also getting the right research and getting the right doctors and get the right alignment. So in many cases, so many people have poured into us, into cancer research that have raised cure rates in so many different ones of them before these things would be death sentences. Now they're not. And cancer research, when it comes to how they actually are going and attacking cancer, has changed drastically. Before, it was always just about radiation and chemotherapy. Now they have targeted radiation. Now they have TCAR, obviously, programs are coming out. They're a lot more specific to gene mutation to sit here and attack the cancer cells themselves and almost treat it like a virus, like a flu. So there's so much stuff that these amazing minds are doing to help not just fight cancer, but also help life after cancer and obviously the sustainability and the effects that it has on your body. So it's definitely something they have to sit here and focus on the fact that this is getting better each and every year, that there's so much more technologies out each and every year, so many advancements in the medical field and these amazing brains, so they can sit here and rest assured that these doctors will pour into them to find that cure and just obviously trust God and obviously pray a lot as well.
Life is what happens to us while we're planning other things. And this latest pandemic, COVID-19 worldwide, how are you and your team doing and getting through it?
So it's been the most unique time for all of us, right? All of a sudden you go from having a great year, starting the year off great, to all of a sudden our doors are closed. So we had to learn. It was totally different than 2008 and 2009. You know, revenue was still coming in, even though, you know, GM was in bankruptcy and the economy was in bad shape. People were still buying things. I've never had to go through an experience where you have no revenue coming in at all, but you still have all your expenses. We've never laid off an employee in our entire life. We had to learn how to obviously lay off and furlough people and bring them back. So we learned all these things. We learned obviously how to be resilient. I think we worked harder, our teams, than we ever have in our entire life. And we're workaholics at trade. So that's saying a lot. But we, for us, I never had a day off. We obviously only were away from the dealership for about 8 or 9 days. But every day outside of work was working on Zoom calls and planning and learning about PPP and learning about every aspect. PPE products and going through everything you can and becoming experts. But I tell you, the hard work paid off. Obviously, we've had record months. When you look at the last 4 months in sales and service, we've had an all-time record in our company. I couldn't be more proud of our teams, what they poured into it. But there's been an education, right? I mean, you look at this adversity has taught us something else that was different than 2008 and 2009. But again, the same core values are there. We got to control what we can control. I can't control what's going on in the world, but I can control our attitudes and our focus. And my responsibility as a leader of this company is making sure that vision that I can control is set on things that will help impact and grow these families. And I can make sure that I take care of my employees like family and making sure they're protected each and every day, that they can pay their bills each and every day. And we can educate them and help them all along every step of the way, even though things change daily in the world of this, you know, guidance and what regulations are there, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, being closed or open, different loans, all this type of stuff. We can learn together, adapt together. And then afterwards, we can, you know, as God brings us this rainbow, we can start looking at things of maybe things we took for granted that we can't take for granted anymore. So that's what my hope and prayers are, is throughout all this, that we don't forget the lesson that we were taught, that we're not promised tomorrow, that we have to sit here and treat each and every day as a blessing. And we got to make sure that we're doing our part to pour into each other and take care of each other. And obviously focus on our faith, family, and friends.
Faith, family, and friends. You live it every day. Keep up the great, great work, Ryan. We admire you.
I truly appreciate you having me on. It's been an honor and a blessing. Thank you again.
God bless. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.